Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's talk about the dangers of social media. When you use it or anything on the internet, it's important to have boundaries and safeguards in place to protect your health. With us to talk about some practical tips, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, this is something that I know is pretty important to you, isn't it?
Yeah. Morning, Bob. It really is important to me. And that's because I spent so many years always being plugged in. I had the kind of job where I always had to be plugged in basically 24 hours a day waiting for breaking news. And I never made time to unwind. And even if you don't have that kind of job, social media can become so addictive that really before you know it, it affects your health. So I started by creating a guide to disengaging and unplugging from social media, which later turned into a general guide for healthier internet usage.
All right. Start us off with a tip.
Sure. So three words, limit your time. And now here's the trick. It sounds easy, but here's the trick. There's countless ways to do this. Now, for example, Apple has a screen time limit where you can set your phone by hours and days to not let you use certain apps. Android has something similar called digital well-being. Chrome has its own limits. But I find that the easiest way to limit your time is to actually physically remove the apps from your phone. And the reason why is because this way I have to go through the process of putting them back. And it's that process that always allows me to decide if I want to put it back. It's too easy with the other apps and timers to temporarily disable it. So I have that screen time app from Apple that's set up. My Facebook and my Twitter, they automatically become disabled every night at 7 p.m. So from 7 p.m. until 9 a.m. the following day, I'm off social media, which is 14 hours a day, which is really, really good. But there's absolutely going to be times where I need to jump online and do something for work. But in general, I try to keep to those limits because that way it becomes a habit. And once you develop the routine, it's a lot easier to be healthy.
But wouldn't starting the process itself be hard? Even if you delete apps or limit their abilities, you still have a phone or a tablet to tempt you, don't you?
You do, and that's a really good point, and that leads to another tip. Create a wind-down window. So a wind-down window is 30 minutes to an hour before going to bed. You shouldn't be on your device. This way, you remove eye strain with some time before bed that can actually help you sleep better. And if you can help it, try to keep your phone in another room when you sleep. I will say this was a difficult one for me. Some people are really adamant about keeping it on the nightstand in case it's an emergency, and I totally understand that. But I find it way too tempting if it's sitting next to me. My alternative is to put the ringer on high and put the phone in the next room. Mm.
Scott, you better talk to my wife because she's glued to that phone, and I can't imagine her doing any of this. I mean, I think it would really be hard. Don't you think this is hard for most people to do, what you're talking about?
It's hard for most people to do, but let me just stress this, Bob. If I can do it, anyone can do it. And I really mean that because I was literally the person who had to have a different ringtone or a different tone to tell me what kind of breaking news was happening. Back in the day, I had local breaking news, I had national, I had international, like I had a whole system. And then at some point, I just said, I have to figure out a way to do this. And that's where the whole deleting apps came from. It's a lot of extra steps, but it's really made me, I think it's made me healthier.
Yeah, but you were doing a nationally syndicated column on social media. It was your work, your job.
That's absolutely true. But I have a feeling that if people really realized how much time they could get back if they weren't using social media, I think that this would be something that would become attractive to them.
None of this really is about tech. It's common sense, isn't it?
It is common sense, and that goes back to those apps and those systems I mentioned that can limit usage. Don't get me wrong, I don't dislike them, and I think it's great that you have access to those tools because the companies are trying to make sure that we do, but for me, they're just too tempting to circumvent. So for me, going the common sense route, the route that doesn't involve tech, you know, and Simple things, removing apps, taking your phone off the nightstand. I think you accomplish the same thing. I've started to call it distance and disconnect. Distancing yourself from the device allows you to disconnect. And if you think about it holistically, if you cut your mobile usage 1 hour a day, Monday through Friday, I'm not even counting weekends, that's 5 hours a week, 260 hours a year, and almost 11 full days.
Wow. Digital strategist Scott Kleinberg giving us some needed tips here. Aside from the physical changes you can make, Scott, what other suggestions do you have for smarter use of our time?
Well, for social media apps, Bob, I would say do an audit. Make sure that you're following the right accounts. We've all followed accounts over the past several years that we no longer need. Now, even if those accounts are no longer active, that's fine. This particular exercise is about removing accounts that you don't need. You don't want to be tempted by. And remember, many social media apps, they've been around for 10 or more years. So if you don't regularly do this audit or do a cleanse, you've got a lot of room for improvement.
What about business owners who are using social media for work? Any tips for them?
For them, Bob, it's a lot like what I tell myself. After a certain hour, you have to separate personal from professional. You have to switch off between modes. But there's really more to it than that. You want to avoid feeling like there's no other choice than to use evenings for social media work. So what I do, or what I have done, use a social media scheduler so you can post across the day. It's likely not in your best interest anyway to save your posting for the evening. So it's like forging two good habits at once. You're learning how to best interact with your audience by time, and you're setting clear boundaries.
By the way, this is a little off the subject, but when businesses especially are trying to push out a message and get the most people to view it, is there a prime time that most people are on Facebook and Instagram and so forth?
To be honest with you, it's a great question. There really isn't. And there are going to be a lot of blog posts and a lot of people out there who are going to try to tell you otherwise. They're going to say 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on every other Tuesday is the best time to do it. And what I always say is that is for somebody, but it's not for necessarily your audience. You have to get to know your audience. The most general speaking, I mean, obviously the middle of the night is not going to be the time you're going to get most people, but everybody has a different type of habit, so there's not going to be a set time that's really going to make a difference.
Interesting. All right, want to leave us with a final tip?
Yeah, sure. There's just one really, Bob, that more comes to mind. You know, digital and social media tips often overlap. So good things that come from like the spring cleaning segment that we've done where you can do things once every 6 months, you know, that can also be a part of an exercise like this. I always say that if you check things off your checklist regularly, you'll spend so much less time doing it in the long run. So in this case, you know, we discussed unfollow accounts, but then also keep your account safe with strong passwords, which we've talked about before. If you become efficient on doing both social media and digital at the same time, becoming more healthy is going to become more natural to you.
All right. Now, for the Genius Bar question today, I'm sure I'm not the only one who has seen this message on the iPhone. Storage full. Why am I getting that message, and what do I need to do?
Well, first, let me say I'm sorry to hear that, Bob, because that's a tough one, but actually not tough to fix. There, it just basically means you've used up all your space or you're getting very close to all your space and your phone needs the remaining space to operate. But luckily, on an iPhone and an iPad, there's a really easy way to look into what is going wrong. You can go into Settings, General, and then there's something called Storage. It's either called Storage or Device Storage. And there's a list of recommendations in there for actually optimizing your storage. So things like make your photos low res, get rid of certain songs, get rid of messages you haven't looked at in a long time. It'll actually guide you in a way to save some, but you can also do things manually in there, like remove photos, remove duplicate videos, stuff like that. So once you get that message, go into that menu, and I bet you you'll get some stuff back.
What takes up the most space? Videos?
You know, it really depends. Video is definitely a big one. Photos, too. Remember, the more advanced our phones get, the bigger the files each one has. So it could be an app, it could be a video, it could be a photo. These days, it's better to actually buy a phone that has more storage so you can avoid this happening.
Scott Kleinberg, thanks as always. Talk to you next Tuesday morning.
Take care, Bob. Thank you.